Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, as I mentioned, today is Valentine's Day here in the U.S. And my wife asked me this morning, was I going to preach on Valentine's Day or something? Or on love, maybe it was. I guess that was the subject she asked me, if I was going to preach on. And I had to tell her, no, I'm not particularly preaching on love. In fact, my title today, I think some people probably would look at me quite strange when I tell you what the title is, because my title is Recharge Your Batteries. Recharge Your Batteries. Now, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the simple definition of the word battery is a device that is placed inside a machine, such as a clock, a toy, or a car, to supply it with electricity. You know, batteries are a wonderful invention. They enable us to do things that we might not have been able to do otherwise. And all of us, our lives are daily, on a daily basis, are influenced by the use of batteries. How many of you are wearing a watch? You've probably got a battery in that watch. How many of you drove here this morning? You got a battery in that car. In fact, some cars today even completely work on batteries, and they don't use gasoline or another fuel source. Batteries have undergone some transformations over the years. And how many of you remember back a few years back, if you had a 9-volt battery, it was a bulky thing. You know, it was about 2 or 3 inches cubed and about 4 inches tall or something like that, and heavy. And now a 9-volt battery is a very small little battery. And in fact, the type that we use around here is not very big, and they even make them even smaller than that for some things. And so they're a wonderful device. How many, I know some of you here use a little laptop or tablet device to bring your Bible to church on so that you've had access to various translations and so on. And guess what? A battery is used in that as well. It keeps that device running. So the list could go on, though, as to what a battery involves and what it does. But basically, it boils down to it, a battery is a power source. Simple as that. And a lot of things, if we didn't have batteries and we needed a power source, we'd have to hook them up to something and in turn plug that line that we hooked them up to into an outlet in the wall and get our electricity that they need or the power that they need a different way. Of course, batteries, as you know, sometimes, especially the older type battery and most everyday type batteries, eventually they run out of power. But then they came up a few years ago with a wonderful thing called rechargeable batteries. And rechargeable devices. And they're fantastic because you don't have to keep changing the battery. You just plug it into the electrical outlet somewhere and you recharge it. And you refill the power, you might say, in that battery. And a lot of people like those. Now, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, again, the simple definition of the word recharge, first definition that comes up is to refill a battery with electricity. It's a very simple definition of it. Recharge, to refill a battery with electricity. It also says it is to regain your energy and strength. Regain your energy and strength. And we need sometimes to recharge our own batteries, so to speak, our internal batteries. You know, because when a battery is drained of its energy, problems start to occur. You ever get up some morning, go out and climb in your car, and you're in a hurry to go somewhere, probably to work, and you put the key in the ignition, you turn the key, and all you get is click, click. And probably every one of us has experienced that problem at some time or another, and you think, oh no, the battery is dead. And you have to jump start it somehow, and sometimes the battery will then recharge and you're okay, and sometimes it has to be replaced. And the microphone I'm using uses batteries. You know, the funny thing about it, when its battery starts to go bad, it starts to do some strange things. It makes kind of some weird noises sometimes. And sometimes it clicks and it does various things and lets you know that it's needing a recharge. So we have to replace it. But that is the energy source that it has. And as a human being, we may not have a physical battery such as we've been talking about. But there can be times when our energy or our strength runs down. You ever have that happen? You just get up and all of a sudden you're out of energy. Your strength is gone. You feel like that you can barely move. Probably every one of us have had a day like that at some point. We feel like we're just exhausted. And again, as human beings, when our energy begins to run down, sometimes problems begin to occur in our lives. When you don't, your energy source runs down. How many of you, when you get tired, get cranky? Anybody here? Some honest people. I just got pointed at. Yeah. And probably a lot of us do that, you know. If we get tired, we can get a little cranky. That's one of the signs that our energy source is running down. And, you know, other things can happen. We just don't feel good, you know. Ugh. Sometimes we need to recharge our energy. And sometimes we can do it by various ways. As far as our physical body, we can take vitamins, or we can sometimes exercise and recharge our physical body, and even though that's tiring, it helps us to build up our energy. And there are various things that we can do to build up our energy and begin to make us feel all charged up again. And sometimes you can just get excited about something and you get a burst of energy. You ever have that happen? Something caused you to get excited and all of a sudden you've got this energy you didn't know you had. Because that adrenaline in your body begins to flow and begins to flood throughout your physical body. But our spiritual life needs energy as well. Did you ever stop to think about that? Our spiritual life needs some energy, and sometimes it needs to be recharged. We need power in our spiritual life. Now, the word power is used in the King James Bible 272 times. So it must be something that's important. And of course, there are various definitions that go along with the word power as it's used in the various parts of the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But let's deal with what Jesus and some of the apostles had to say about power, because it's important what he had to say. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." He's saying, I am a power source for you. I give you a power that the world can't give. You know, the world can give our physical body some power by the foods that we eat and some stuff like that. And maybe they can give us some power in other areas of the way of our daily life, but they cannot give us that spiritual power, that spiritual energy that Jesus can give us through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in our life. And he's saying, I give you that power, and when I give you that power, these things cannot come against you. Do we always use the power that God has given us? Do we always take advantage of the power that God has bestowed in our life? Do we stand up and claim the power that God has made available to us? Because he went on to say in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Our power source comes from on high. It's not like the natural power of this world. It's not like the power supply we have here that we plug into a wall socket or something. It comes from on high. It comes from the throne room of God. It is a power source that God Himself endues us with. A power that is beyond anything we can physically muster up. So He said, ye shall be endued with power. You will have that power. The Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, and he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He, speaking of John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But listen to this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name. You talk about a power that's been made available to us. He says right here, he gave us power to become the sons of God. We become, by the spirit of adoption, a part of the family of God, and we become a part of his household. He gives us power to become that. Jesus said before his ascension in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and into the uttermost parts of the earth. He said you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We've been talking back and forth with some of my friends of years ago, and we were talking the other day and about some of the services that we used to be in the church that we all attended back many years ago, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that took place in some of those services, and the power of God that we felt in our midst, because God is the one that gives us the power. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, we equate the power in our Christian lives and the power that we're talking about here with a particular preacher. Oh, and some of them are powerful men of God. I don't want to deny that. But it is not the preacher himself that gives us the power. It is the Spirit of God that gives us the power. It is the Spirit of God that moves in our lives, that raises us up and makes us a powerhouse for God. He wants us to be powerful. He wants us to have power. He wants us to lift his name up. He wants us to be able to go out and do the things that he set before us to do. He said, you receive power. Do we see the power of the Holy Spirit taking place in our lives today like we really should? I really don't think so. I think that there is more power available to us through what God has said in his word here than we really experience, than what we really take advantage of. God wants us to be a powerhouse for him. Now, some people think, well, if you're a powerhouse for him, you got to be able to go out and do certain things. But you know what? You can be a powerhouse for God and never leave the community that you're in. You can be a powerhouse for God and never be on television and preach the gospel there. You can be a powerhouse for God and never do a lot of things that people think that you have to do to be a powerhouse for God. You are a powerhouse for God when the Holy Spirit fills your life and begins to use you, and you are obedient to what God speaks to your heart, and you go forth and do the things that God has called you to do, you become a powerhouse for God. But where is the power today? Well, I think a lot of us need to recharge our batteries spiritually. We need more of the power of God in our life. Oh, we pray and we see God answer some of our prayers. We do this or we do that and we some things. But you know what? There's more available to us than what we're experiencing. There's more available to us. God has a power for us. He has a work for us that He wants us to do. And we need to get our spiritual lives recharged, re-energized, taking full advantage of the Spirit of God in our life to be able to do what God calls us to do. As a child of God, you have a power source. That power source is the Holy Spirit. And we probably know more about the life of the Apostle Paul than any of the other apostles. And here's what he stated. Let me first ask, how many of you go through some problems in your lives every once in a while? Yeah? You get up one morning and it just seems like everything goes wrong. I have that happen. I got up one day about a week ago and it seemed like no matter what I did, it went wrong. Didn't matter what I did, it went wrong. Here's what Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. This is one of the powerful men of God that we read about in the New Testament, the early church. And here's what he says. Verse 24, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, 3 times, was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. It's out in the ocean there. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul, one of the great apostles, the early church, he went through some tough times. In fact, if you examine your life compared to Paul's life, we're breezing through. I don't think any one of us here have ever been shipwrecked. I don't know if any of us have ever been robbed. Maybe someone half, I see someone shaking their head back there. Maybe anybody here ever been stoned? No. Some of these other things. Beaten with rods. I know some of you think, oh, back when I was a kid, man, that spare the rod and spoil the child was practiced, you know, and I got, but that's not what he's talking about there. And I realize that there are Christians throughout the world today, in various parts of the world right this very day, probably right this very moment, are going through some of the things that he's writing about right here. They're being persecuted. They're being tortured. Some of them are being killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some just simply because of the fact that they're a Christian. They're murdered. He said, I went through all these things. But then in Romans 15, 19, he writes, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have preached the gospel of Christ. It didn't matter what happened to him. It didn't matter that he had been beaten. It didn't matter that he had been stoned. It didn't matter that he had been shipwrecked. It didn't matter that he'd been bitten by a deadly serpent. It didn't matter that he'd spent a lot of time in jail. he still was able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because he had the power of God being manifest in his life. And we need that power of God manifest in our life. We need that power of God working in our life on a daily basis so that we can feel and experience the presence of God. I think even if we had a small fraction of the power of God operating in our life that Paul's talking about here, it would change us drastically. It would change our lives. And guess what, folks? Our lives need to be changed. As Christians, our lives need to be changed. We are the light unto the world that he's talking about. We are the ones that are showing the world what Christianity is really like. You know what? You can go out and preach Christianity till you're blue in the face. But unless you are living that life, unless you are living what you are talking about, it doesn't do a whole lot of good. A lot of people judge Christianity by how you live. And some people will not get saved because of the preacher that they hear, no matter what. How great he is, or how good he is, or how well known he is, but because of the life they observed from that person who sits in the pew. Because if that person who sits in the pew does not demonstrate the love of God and the power of God in their life, they're going to say, it's no different than anything else. And there's a lot of things out there that preach a gospel, that they are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are not preaching the power of God. We need God's power in our life. We need in our life that recharge. We need God's Spirit filling our life on a daily basis. And it's something that we need to renew that power source every day of our life. We need to say, God, fill me with your power. God, fill me with your authority. God, fill me with what you need for me to have today to go out and do what you've called me to do today. And I know a lot of people think that if you're working for God, you've got to be a preacher or a teacher or something like that. But still, some of the greatest workers for God are the people that sit in the pew. They're the ones that change or influence people to make that change in their life, because of what they see in you and what they experience in you. We need the power of God in our life. We need a filling of the power of God in our life. We need to be charged up. We were talking earlier about batteries. A battery's got a positive post and a negative post. What happens if you touch both posts at the same time? You get charged. You know, you're probably going to sing and do a little dance. You know, because of what happens. And you know what? I can remember, and I think this is a good example. I can remember back times when praying and the Spirit of God would come upon you, and actually you'd feel almost like you touched those two posts of that battery, because you could feel that charge of the Holy Spirit take place in your life. You could feel His move in your life. You could feel something happening in our life. God, renew the power in our life today. Recharge us with your Holy Spirit. Let us feel that flow of the energy of God and the power of God in our life that we need to be able to accomplish the work that He's called us to do. Our Father, we thank you for the word today. Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your power, Father. And I pray, Father, if there's anybody listening to this word today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that, Father, the Holy Spirit would speak to them, Father, and, Father, bring, Father, into their lives, Father, the power of God, And Father, let them know that you love them in such a special way. And Father, I ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.